For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow in his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Reading from 1 Peter 2, 21 through 22. Another reading in Hebrews 4, 14 through 16 says this about Christ. Seeing that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. In all points, Jesus was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Temptation surrounds us, and we many times fall to the enticing lure. And some of us who are older would like to think as we get older that this only applies, temptation only applies to those who are young. Well, I would agree that many who are young face a greater array of temptations than perhaps we did when we were young, growing up on the farm like I was. Today, so much is brought into the living room that was never brought into our living rooms when most of us were growing up. We're all tempted. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because we're all subject to temptation, I thought it would be good for us this morning to look at God's Word as it speaks about temptation, how it affects us, how it can overtake us, and how we can overcome rather than be overcome. I've entitled my lesson this morning, Meeting Temptation with Christ. Meeting Temptation with Christ. You know, one of the first things that needs to be done when we're faced with any decision or faced with getting up in the morning as to what we'll do, we need to realize that temptation exists. Realize that temptation exists. It'd be awful easy just to kind of cruise along and to forget that temptation really exists, that Satan is really out there trying to get us. It'd be great if we could be immunized or we could be inoculated. We know that our sins were forgiven us as we were baptized into Christ after repenting of our sins and confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And we know that if we continue to walk in the light as He is in the light, that the blood of Christ continues to cleanse us from all sins. But we face temptations. We need to realize that temptations exist. In the book of James, chapter 1, I'll call your attention to verses 13 through 21. 13 through 21. There would be those who would suggest, and I'm sure what did suggest back in the time that James wrote this, that God tempts man. But James made it clear, he said, let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. And then here's the progression that temptation and sin takes. For every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will beget he with us the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And then we have at least one antidote to temptation and to sin. Wherefore, lay apart sin, or lay apart all filthiness. And superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted or the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Here God's word says, make no mistake about it, we're sinned when we're drawn away by our own desires, our own lust, that which goes on within our hearts, and that's where we should take heed. We're not tempted of God, but we're drawn away by our own desires. We have that choice. The Bible says that temptation and that lingering, longing, lust, when it is conceived, brings forth sin, which ultimately will bring forth spiritual death, unrepented of. Note that in James 1:21, as I mentioned, we have an antidote for sin, because he says, lay apart sin and receive the word of God. I recall when I'm thinking about this throughout the week, what the psalmist said in Psalm 119 and verse 11. For a long time, I didn't know exactly where it was in Psalm 119. Psalm 119 has got a lot of verses. But it's in verse 11. It's a very important verse. The psalmist declared, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You think if we were able to talk to David and we asked him, David, is a study of God's word important? Is it important that I get up maybe a little bit earlier on Sunday morning and attend Bible study? Is it important whenever Bible study takes place that I be there to study God's word? Is it important that I open my Bible at home and meditate upon it? And David would say, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. If we would desire not to sin against God, we must have God's word in our heart. We need to be on guard for temptation coming our way. We need to be alert to the devices and the deceit of Satan. God's word warns us in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, be sober. He's not talking about not taking a drink right there. He's talking about being sober-minded. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. A number of years ago, I went in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. I forget exactly what was going on, but we went to an outdoors or outside water show. And in that show, there were a number of people that were climbing up this long pole, and then they were going to dangle down from this long rope over the water, and they were going to do various tricks from the position of having that rope around their hand, or some of them having it around their feet. And that was real dangerous. I don't think I would try that. Don't try that at home if it was on TV, they'd say. Yet, you know, the most dangerous thing that they could have done was to have forgotten for one moment that there was danger. Because just one moment could cause a fatal mistake to be made, and they would forever wish that they had thought during that moment that the possibility of falling at that time was there. So in dealing with temptation in our lives, we need to first recall and realize that temptation exists. Realize that temptation exists. Number two, when we think about the temptations coming our way, we need to think about the life of Christ. We need to follow Christ's example. Turn to Matthew chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Jesus, according to Matthew's order of things, has just been baptized in the River Jordan by John. The Father has spoken to him, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Then Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. The Bible says he was afterward hungered. When the tempter came to him and says, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's number one time the devil appears to him. The second time the devil tempts him, then the devil takes him into the holy city and goes up to the pinnacle, the topmost part of the temple, and said, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written." The devil said, "You can quote scripture, I can quote scripture too. It is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again, the devil taking them up to an exceeding high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. See, Jesus was interested in building his kingdom and starting his kingdom and getting that going. "All these things," Satan said, "will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then said Jesus, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." As we consider Jesus, as we consider his example, we need to keep in mind several things. Today we face the same tempter that he faced. You know, it's easy to read there in the passage and say, "Well, I know Jesus was tempted in all things like as we are, yet without sin." But then it just kind of rolls off our tongues or through our mind, you know, like sometime when somebody's talking and it goes in one ear and right out the other. But today we face the same temptation. We face the same Satan, the same tempter. 1 Peter 5:8 mentioned earlier. That Satan is still there. He's our adversary. He's not out there on our behalf. He's out there and he's against us. He may not be out there. He may be in here. Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, we said in verse 15 of Hebrews 4. Not perhaps every specific test, but confronted with every type of sin. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, as 1 John 2, verse 16 says. Jesus was tempted at a very weak point in his life. Can you imagine having been out in an area like he was in the wilderness and having nothing to eat and nothing and no one around, being alone for 40 days and 40 nights? Most of us can't think about missing one meal. And so somebody's probably already salivating about lunch today, you know. But Jesus missed a few meals, quite a few meals. And it was then that Satan came to him. Now, don't you think that that first temptation that Satan placed before him was really a temptation? Something to eat for a starving man, very hungry man. 40 days fasting, alone, physically weak. When we are tired, when we are frustrated, when we are emotionally drained, when we are, quote, fed up with things, Satan can enter. Satan may be entering and cause that particular feeling in our hearts. But how did Jesus respond? How did Jesus respond? And what can I learn from how Jesus handled it if he's to be my example? Jesus, in each of the three temptations, responded with the words, "It is written." Well, David, I remember you said, "Hide the word in your heart." Maybe that's what Jesus had done. The word was hidden in his heart. He was able to quote scripture. He had those inside him. He was able to not succumb to Satan because he could say, "It's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by God's word. He shall not tempt the Lord thy God. Worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." With these in mind and with these responses from Satan, I mean from Jesus, Satan left. So Jesus had his victory on that occasion. James 4 and verse 7, James says, "Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But he also says in the next verse to draw nigh to God. So it's not just to leave our hearts vacant, not to have a vacant spot there, but we need to fill it with being near God. Someone said victors are won not by Christians, but by Christ. And perhaps we can understand better what Paul said when he said this about his life. He said, "It is no longer I that liveth, but Christ lives in me." Paul could come to a certain point in his life where he says, "I've let the mind of Christ enter me. I'm following Christ's example because I'm beginning to think like he thought. I'm beginning to respond as he responded." What about this illustration taken from the Second World War? We'll say that in the darkest hour of the war over in the area of Germany, when the destiny of the world was hanging in the balances, there was a group meeting in Paris, France. And they adopted this slogan: "Believe victory, think victory, preach victory, live victory." Live victory. To meet temptation with Christ, we need to realize that temptation exists. That means not to just have our minds go along in neutral, not just be going along like a leaf that's placed in a stream and it kind of goes along with the current, wherever the current or the water takes it. Secondly, we need to remember Jesus' example. And third, there's a divine promise that's made. A divine promise that's made to us. In 1 Corinthians 10, and verse 13, we have this promise made from God. And I'll turn there too to give you some time to locate that scripture. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. After talking about the people of the Old Testament, the people of God in the Old Testament, and how they reacted to God, and how they murmured and committed sins, and he says, for those at Corinth not to murmur as they did, and that these things happen as example. And he says in verse 12, "Take heed, you that think you stand, lest you fall. There hath no temptation," he says. Paul says, "There's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man." Someone else has been down this same road before and had the decision that you or I are about to make, a choice to be made. They've had that choice. He says, "No temptation, there's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able." And here's the promise, our secondary promise: "But will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear." Now that's a great promise, isn't it? And it comes from someone who is faithful. It comes from someone that we know, having read the Old Testament and the New Testament, that this one keeps his promises. God keeps his promises. He made numerous promises to his people in the Old Testament. He kept those promises. He made numerous promises concerning the coming of Christ for the salvation of our souls, and he kept those promises. So we have this divine example. You know, each of us has the power of choice. When God made man, he made man in his image. He did not make man by starting out with one sail varmint or whatever in the sea that came ashore. There was no big bang there unless God called the big bang. It's not even common sense. I mean, a lot of these folks that want to talk about evolution versus an intelligent design, where are their intelligence? Where is their intelligence? Where is their common sense? Each of us has the power of choice. Go back to the time of Eve in Genesis chapter 3. Satan came to tempt her by way of the serpent. God had told her, now there's a tree here, you're not to eat. Satan said, no, it's all right if you go ahead and eat it. She had a choice. Deal or no deal. Eat or no eat. She made the wrong choice. David, instead of calling and seeing and lusting and longing for Bathsheba on an adjacent building top, could have turned his head, looked the other way, and gone back into his own home and minded his own business. Joseph, when tempted by Potiphar's wife to sin, the Bible says he left his garment and fled and got him out. And sometimes that's what we need to do when we are faced with temptation. When we're faced with a temptation to sin, there's a time to get out. There's a time to get out of those circumstances. Whether it's around people that are influencing us to do wrong, or whether it's a particular situation we find ourselves in. Prophet Daniel, when told to cease his worship to God, refused to heed the advice of those who told him that, and he remained faithful to God. You know, today we're tempted, not in exactly the same way they are, but our temptation today a lot is to be like other people, you know. Why is it necessary for me to live this way when I see so many other people living the way they're living and they're getting along great? They live out there in that big house. They've got great big cars in their garage. They have plenty to eat. They seem to be healthy. Judgment Day hasn't come yet. Temptation is to be like others at whatever cost. But our choice should be to refuse, to be our own person, to be God's person. Temptation is to go along many times, to get along, a phrase that I've heard through the years. To dismiss God's warnings from the Bible. To dismiss the examples of David when he said, thy word have I hid in my heart. That is a good item to follow. That's a good suggestion to follow, isn't it? That's a good example to follow. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing his blessing to seek. This last section of my lesson entitled The Divine Prescription. Some aids that we can find in the Bible to help us to resist temptation. We need to strengthen our faith. I think we could see that. If a person has strong faith, a lot of times we see people and we look at their lives and we see a life well lived for Christ and we say, you know, their faith is strong. They have a strong faith. Faith comes by hearing. Here we go, back to the same thing. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Same or similar Word of God that David hid in his heart. The word of God that was spoken when Jesus was tempted of Satan in Matthew chapter 4, it is written. But when we strengthen our faith, only then can we have the courage to face and to fight temptation. We all have weaknesses. And sometimes I'd like to think that I don't. Sometimes you may like to think that you don't. But we all have weaknesses. Satan has been weakened by Jesus, but he still has great power. Peter wouldn't have compared him to a roaring lion and being able to devour. James says that he practices deception. We all need God's help. In 1 John 5 and verse 4, John said, this is the victory that's overcome the world, even our faith. The second thing, as we look at God's work, we see that the early Christians continued steadfast in fellowship. In fellowship. In fellowship with one another. Why? Well, it's easier for me to do right when I'm with folks who are trying to do right. What about the child who's in the presence of his mama and daddy? Well, that child is not as likely to get into trouble. I used to see a church where I was leading singing. Mama and daddy would say, "Set up here," and the young people would sit back there. That wasn't a good situation, was it? No. It wasn't a good situation at all. We need to realize God's presence. I think that's one thing David did as the years went on. Psalm 139, he spoke of God as being omnipresent, omniscient. He was everywhere. He had all power. Spend time with our brothers and sisters in Christ at worship and socially. We need to recognize our own weaknesses. I put this down in here in my notes. A person on a diet shouldn't have planned to attend 3 banquets in the coming month. If you ever get yourself in a situation like, just start a diet, somebody says, "Let's go out to Piccadilly or wherever, where they got all that food and all that dessert staring you in the face." The alcoholic needs to stay away from alcohol. He must stay away if he's to survive. The wise avoid the very appearance of evil, the Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 5:22. How did Daniel, in the presence of a foreign nation and foreign people, how did he maintain his faithfulness to his God? Well, you said, well, he was a follower of God. Well, Daniel 1, verse 8 says something that's very revealing about Daniel. It says, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He purposed. He didn't wait until the situation came up and say, boy, I got to make a decision real fast here. He had already purposed in his heart. He had had some plans. He had set some goals. And a lot of people accomplish much because they do that. And we accomplish much in fighting temptation if we will purpose that we will not fall, that we will not succumb. Oh, we will sin. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. We need to repent of that sin. God has said that he will forgive. Only those who are determined in their heart to fight sin will be enabled to do that. We're admonished as Timothy was by Paul in 1 Timothy 5:22, keep thyself pure. Timothy was a young man, subject to all the temptations that a young man would be subject to. But he was preaching. He had been mentored by the Apostle Paul. And he would be preaching to people of varying ages and backgrounds. And there would be the need for them to have someone to teach them. And Timothy was that teacher. He was that example before them. Keep thyself pure. Timothy, there's no way you can ask others to keep themselves pure unless you first work on yourself. Meeting temptation with Christ. First of all, we need to realize that temptation exists because the battle is lost before it's begun if we don't realize that. We need to remember what James says in James chapter 1, verse 13 and following. The progression of sin, how temptation enters and lust conceives, brings forth sin when sin is finished, brings forth death. Very quickly in those verses, very deadly. If we allow that to continue in our lives, we need to realize and remember Jesus' example on our behalf. In Hebrews 4:15, where he was tempted in all things like as we are, yet without sin. And we can't say, I've heard people say, well, he was the divine Son of God. If I was the divine Son of God, I wouldn't be tempted either. But there was about him a human side. Read Philippians 2, verses 5 and following. He humbled himself, came here in form of a human. He was subject to all the ailments and all the temptations that we would be subject to. Do I understand those two in one body? No. The divine, human. But the Bible says that's the way it was. Remember Jesus' example. Remember the divine promise where God has said in His Word, 1 Corinthians 10:13, that with every temptation, there's a way of escape. There's not just door number one or door number two or door number three. We can make the choice, and there's one that doesn't have temptation written all over it. And as we strengthen our faith, as we have fellowship with people of like mind or Christians, as we recognize the weaknesses that we have, as we purpose in our heart, then as day by day goes by, we'll be more apt to choose the right door. Our choices will be better made. N.P. Willison once said that no degree of temptation justifies any degree of sin. Keep thyself pure, realizing that we can get forgiveness for our sins when we do sin. We need to pray earnestly to God. After repenting of those sins, we need to make things right with those that we have wronged, and then go on our way, realizing that God will keep His promises. This morning, if there's one here not a Christian, why not come to Christ this very day, expressing your belief in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, repenting of your sins, turning away from your sins to be baptized into Christ as they did in the first century, according to the book of Acts. As Jesus had commanded them to teach, so they taught, and so those who obeyed followed that teaching. If you're here and not a Christian, but you desire our prayers on your behalf, wish to rededicate your life to Christ, why don't you come this morning as we stand, as we sing.
With the voice of Jesus' name.